Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 117, Gillette and how the culture war has gone commercial.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad? It's your boy Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda, and we're back to do another podcast. And today I'm going to be talking about the news of the day, the thing that everybody's freaking out about, which is the Gillette advertisement. And I'm going to be giving my two cents, but I'm going to be giving my two cents as an advertiser. So I'm going to be covering some stuff, offering some insight that you probably haven't heard anywhere else. I'm going to be trying to tackle this whole issue from my own point of view. And just because it's going to be my own point of view, I'm going to first start off the episode by admitting that I have personal bias, and I'm going to let you know what that bias is so that you understand the lens that I'm seeing this whole issue through. But again, I'm going to try to stick to the marketing and advertising aspect of it. But I'd be a liar if I said I didn't have any personal bias. So let's jump into what my personal bias is. First of all, I am an anti-SJW. I wouldn't consider myself a conservative, but I'm definitely not a social justice warrior, and I'm against a lot of the leftist social justice warrior aspects in the quote-unquote culture war that seems to be going on right now. And there's no bones about it. We are in the middle of a culture war, and we're in the middle of a war between, and I think society is always in the middle of a culture war. So we're always in a war between the people who want to do things one way and the people who want to do things another way. So that's where we're at. It's a little bit more intense than I think it's ever been, at least in my lifetime. But on one side, we have traditional Western values, and on the other side, we have social justice, leftist, globalist values. And that's kind of where we find ourselves. Again, I'm not on the side completely of conservative Western values, but I'm definitely not on the side of social justice values. That doesn't mean I'm against social justice, but I am against social justice warriors. I'm against them mainly because the left has become very authoritarian in the last decade, maybe. I used to consider myself a very devout leftist, but while I was a leftist, one of my main reasons for being a leftist was I was anti-authoritarian. I was taught always question authority. Now that's not so much the case. The left wants to be the authoritarians. And so I'm against that aspect of social justice warriorism. The censoring people, the deplatforming people, the going after people's ability to make a living, the calling everybody who disagrees with you a Nazi and not allowing them to speak on campus and not allowing them to have anybody you disagree with shouldn't be able to have a Facebook account, shouldn't be able to have a Patreon account. These things that are being done by the left right now terrify me. And so I can't say that I'm for social justice warriorism. Even if I agree with certain things that they're preaching, I don't agree with the way that they're going about trying to spread their ideas or censor the ideas of their opposition. Also, I'm vastly against identity politics. I hate the victim mentality, the whole victim hierarchy. I'm this color of skin plus this sexuality plus this disability, so I have this many victim points, so therefore I should have extra rights granted to me because I'm oppressed by people who are in the majority and I'm in the minority, and I'm just totally against all that shit. I see it as setting people up for failure in life. If you teach people to see themselves as victims, you set them up for failure in life. I'm not for teaching black people that they're victims. I'm not for teaching women that they're victims. I'm not for... Now, that does that mean that they don't ever suffer or be victimized? No, I'm not saying that. I think that there are certain times when certain people of certain identities do get victimized. I'm not saying that we should turn a blind eye to that, but we shouldn't make that their identity. Their victimhood status shouldn't be their identity. When you train people to see themselves as victims, as perpetual victims, as systematic victims, you set them up for failure in life. I'm not about setting people up for failure in life. I'm about teaching people to feel empowered. I'm about teaching people to get over or to get through the tough times and be able to become better people because of it. I'm not about teaching people to see themselves as victims. I was raised up to believe myself a victim of the capitalist bourgeoisie. If you don't already know, I was raised up in a very leftist household, and it's one of the things that really, I think, stunted my ability to succeed in life, was being taught that I was a victim from a very young age. And so I'm not about teaching other people that they're victims. I'm also against cultural Marxism. I don't like cultural Marxism at all. This idea of we couldn't overthrow the Western capitalist society by getting people divided by class. So let's divide people by race. Let's divide people by gender. Let's divide people by sexual preference. Let's divide people by all of these stupid things. And then let's turn them against each other that way so that we can come in and overthrow their culture, overthrow their society, and bring in what traditional Marxism wasn't able to accomplish. I'm against all of this divide and conquer based off of your identity bullshit. So I'm against cultural Marxism and all of those things. Authoritarianism, identity politics, and cultural Marxism play heavily into the social justice warrior crowd, and I'm against those three things. So I am an anti-SJW, and so that's just my bias before I start talking about this particular commercial. Now, was I offended by the ad? Absolutely not. What am I going on a boycott? Am I going to boycott Gillette because they made an advertisement that I don't agree with? I don't use Gillette anyway, so I can't go on a boycott. Am I going to try and get other people to stop buying Gillette? No, I really don't care. Buy whatever you want to buy. Don't buy whatever you want to buy. I wasn't offended by the ad. I just see it as bad advertising, as bad marketing, and pushing a message that I don't entirely 100% agree with. Now, I'm going to say I don't entirely 100% agree with, because I do agree with certain parts of the message. I can see why some people liked the advertisement. I can also see why other people got offended by the advertisement. I think that I can see both sides, because both sides have legitimate concerns. On the one side, rape and harassment do exist. These are things that people have to deal with, that women in general have to deal with. And sometimes they do get a blind eye turned to them. I know personally women that have been harassed, women that have been raped, and didn't get the support that I feel that they should have got, or that I wish as a society we would give them. On the other hand, I don't think that it happens nearly to the amount that leftists believe that it does. I don't believe that racism and patriarchy exist nearly to the amount that a lot of the people on the very far left have themselves convinced that it does. Is it completely eradicated from society? Absolutely not. Is it the major plague to society that a lot of people on the far, far left believe it is? I don't believe that it is. Does that mean we should just turn a blind eye to it and not try and root out these things? I don't think so. I think that we should be conscious of some of these things. That's why I say I agree with the left on some issues. I just disagree with their worldview, the amount of extremity that they have, that they add to these things, and their way of going about combating these things. And then on the other hand, on the other side, the people that are offended by this whole situation, I can see why they're offended by it. Just to be honest, we live in a society where it's socially acceptable to shit on men. Now, it's socially acceptable to shit on a lot of people, but you get shamed for shitting on women. You get shamed for shitting on black people. You get shamed for shitting on homeless people. People still do it. People still shit on women. People still shit on black people. People still shit on poor people. But societally, it's not nearly as acceptable to do those things as it is acceptable to shit on men. Because up until this point, there's really no backlash. You look at like the majority of comedy TV shows, the wife is like Marge and the husband is stupid like Homer. The daughter is smart like Lisa and the son is an idiot like Bart Simpson. It's socially not even just acceptable. It's just kind of like the norm to push that women are smart and women are smarter than their dumb husbands and smarter than their dumb brothers. And it's okay to do that. And I think it should be okay to do that personally, because it's entertainment, but I think it should be okay to do that to everybody. And a lot of people on the left are afraid of writing any other color or any other gender besides white men as this. Like, a big problem that has really plagued comic books in the last couple of years is all of their women characters are just so two-dimensional. All of their black characters are so two-dimensional because they're afraid of giving those characters any flaws. They're afraid of painting those characters as real flawed individuals. So they make all of their women Mary Sues. They make all of that, which is a character that just is way overpowered and doesn't have any struggles, doesn't have any personal flaws to get over, and it doesn't make for good storytelling. And the same thing with a lot of the black characters in comic books now. All the black characters are soulful saints. They never do anything wrong. A good example of this is the Bird Box movie that just came out. The only characters that they were brave enough to write as having personal flaws in that movie were the white characters. Any color, any of the guys that were black in that movie, they were afraid to show any personal flaws. They were afraid to show any development because the black people were automatically soulful saints from their very first scene. So that's a big problem that leftists have, is they're so afraid of being called racist that they won't, they're afraid to demonize anybody except for white men. And I don't even say demonize, but just give flaws to. They're afraid to, they're, if you look at the Gillette commercial, whenever there was a guy harassing a woman, it was a white guy doing the harassing, and the victim was either black or the person who stepped in to save the victim was black. It's a traditional thing. They're so afraid of giving anybody that's not a white man flaws that it starts to make white men feel like they're being attacked. And I don't know if I really think that they're being attacked. I think that it's just these people are terrified to write any other characters with flaws. And that's just the end result, is the only characters it's okay to shit on is white men. So are some men, and men in general too, actually, I shouldn't just say white men, because I see black men get sometimes written and shitted on by Hollywood narratives as well. I think I read something the other day saying that straight black men are the white people of black people, and just shitting on straight black men. And I guess in general, straight men are safe to shit on, and safe to, you won't get called all of the other names that you'll get called if you shit on other identities of people that you can get away with if you're shitting on white men. So why some white people, white men, or men in general have been offended. And here's the truth of the matter. A lot of men are just sick of being shamed. They're sick of being told that their masculinity is toxic. They're sick of being yelled at for things that they didn't even do. They're sick of being lumped in with rapists. They're sick of being lumped in with sexual harassers when they don't do those things. They're sick of being told that just for being men, that they're toxic. And if they feel like that, there's validity to that. And I can understand why they feel that way. I don't think it's for the same reason that they think it's for, or that I see people saying they think it's for, but I can see why they would feel attacked, and why they would feel attacked by this particular Gillette commercial. Now, here's the thing. Genetics, we are creatures of our genetic coding. We're creatures of our evolutionary process. Most women, not all women, but most women want men to pursue them. They want men to be assertive. Most women want men that are masculine and can express dominance and can offer protection. Because of the way that we evolved as a species, that's just something that's genetically programmed into our minds. It's something that we really don't have much power over, because in order to have survived this long, it was a trait that needed to be passed on from one generation to the next generation amongst women. On the other hand, men, we're different than women. We have testosterone. We have the desire to signal our strengths. We're built with different bone structures. We're built with different muscle masses for a reason. We are genetically designed to be different in these different aspects. And it's in both of our genes to be attracted to certain things and to act out certain things. And it's just the way that we're programmed. It's the way that we have evolved.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
The world is a scary place. You're justified in being afraid. Greedy capitalists are killing the planet. Nazis are hiding in every shadow. Unvaccinated kids are targeting your children. Oh, and don't forget about the Mexicans and the terrorists. They're all coming to get you. Threats loom around every corner. We understand if you're terrified, but you don't have to be. Introducing Massive Government. Let our trusty politicians take care of you. Let them decide how your money should be spent. Let them be the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. Let them control what your kids learn in school. Let them take total control of everything. That way, you can get back to the things that really matter, like watching TV and playing the lottery. By now, you're probably asking yourself, how do I get me some more of this massive government stuff? Well, I've got good news for you. For the low, low price of half of everything you earn and your complete submission to our authority, you can have peace of mind, a false sense of security, and everything else that comes along with massive government. The best part is, you don't have to send us any kind of payments. We're already taking them out of your paycheck. As an added bonus, trade in your freedom today and you'll receive 25% more authoritarianism for the lifetime of your account. That's a total of 100% control over your life. And all you have to do to cash in on this offer is nothing at all. Keep on watching TV, keep paying your taxes, keep voting, keep living in fear. Just don't start thinking for yourself. That's our only requirement. Keep doing the things you already do, the things you've always done, and we'll be here to rule over you like we always have been. The world is a scary place. Submit to massive government and feel safer today.
Now, back to our show.
We have this situation right now where a small percentage of women that either can't get the attention that other women get or get more of that attention that than they're comfortable with because they're hot and they don't want people eyeball raping them as they walk to the bathroom, or they don't want to get hit on every time they walk down the street. And then on the other extreme, you've got some women that just never get hit on because they've got hairy armpits and their hair is dyed green and they got half of their head shaved and they're 450 pounds and nobody wants to hit on them. You've got those two extremes saying that all of the other women out there who don't fit those two extremes should just be ready to give up those biological drives, ignore those biological drives. They should no longer be attracted to traditional masculinity. They should no longer be attracted to the things that they've been genetically programmed to be attracted to, because a certain amount of girls on the left and a certain amount of girls who probably are politically not on the spectrum at all, but they don't want that attention. So all women should see that attention as toxic. And then we also have a lot of like, gosh, and I hate to use the word cuck, and I hate to use the word beta male, because I think it's a blanket statement and it's kind of demeaning, and I don't want to come off as demeaning, but there are some men, especially like the male feminist type of guys, they can't exude those traits. They can't exude masculinity. They can't show off their strengths because they feel like they don't have any strengths. They're what people call soy boys. They're dainty. They're frail. They're not masculine. They don't have those personality traits. And so because they can't exude those traits, they want other men to give them up, and other men are not ready to give them up. So yes, there is a culture war going on right now. And while I see that some of the bathwater should be thrown out, people on the far left are trying to throw out the baby and all of the bathwater. And I'm not on either side. I think that there are parts of masculinity that are harmful. They do have harmful consequences in some cases, but they have purposes in other cases. They have reasons for existing in other cases. And I think that there are men, there's certain things that certain men do that are horrible. I believe that harassment happens. I believe that rape happens. I believe that we should not allow those things to happen. And as a society, especially as a Western civilization, we've come a long way in eliminating those things. We don't let the king rape our wives on our marriage days in order to be able to live on their land anymore. We don't allow men to beat their women in public anymore. As a culture, we've put an end to most of these things in the Western culture. Now, there are other cultures in the world still existing today that have definitely not put an end to these practices, that still allow their men to dominate their women, that still allow their men to rape their women, that still allow their men to beat their women, to stone their women, to force their women to walk around completely covered up so that no other men can look at them. There still are cultures in this world that are very guilty of the things that Gillette was going after in that commercial. You notice, though, Gillette did not go after those cultures in that commercial. I'm just saying, that's kind of odd. But that stuff does exist in the world today, not in the culture that Gillette decided to really attack to the same extent that it exists in other cultures. So I do find it kind of suspicious that they only went after one culture for something that other cultures definitely are guilty of to a much larger extent than the one that they attacked. But whatever, I'm not going to go too far into that other than that. Here's the thing, though. Those things, most men don't want to be lumped in. They don't want to have all of those things tied into masculinity and have them be used as an excuse to attack what they see as healthy masculinity or masculinity as a whole. It's kind of like if you were dating somebody and the last person they were dating cheated on them, and so they constantly accused you of cheating, and you never cheated. You never even looked at another person the whole time you were dating, but because of what somebody else did, and since you had that same gender as that somebody else, you were constantly getting blamed for that. You would probably leave that relationship. You'd probably get sick of it. You'd probably say, look, I'm sick and tired of you attacking me for what somebody else who happens to have the same genitals as me did, and so I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And that's where a lot of people on the other end, the people that are offended by this commercial, that's where a lot of them are at. They're sick of being criticized and ridiculed for things that they didn't do. They're sick of having their gender or their genitals or their masculinity attacked for things that they don't even do. And so they felt insulted by the commercial. And this particular commercial came off as more about preaching and scolding their audience than it did about selling something to their audience. And this is where it gets into advertising. A lot of people are questioning, what was the point of this advertisement? What was their real goal in this advertisement? I'm going to get into what their real goal was. It was not selling, and people have offered, well, were they trying? Was this about generating buzz to sell more razors? Was this about no such thing as bad publicity? Or was it about them taking a stand for something they believe in? I don't think it was either. So first of all, it wasn't about generating a buzz and selling razors, because it's a sin in advertising to attack your audience. You don't scold your audience. You don't attack your audience. That does not sell. That does not get people to buy things. You never put the blame on your potential audience. You don't put the blame on your viewer. You don't put the blame on your reader. As a copywriter, I know you never blame your reader for the things that are going on in their life. You give them somebody else to blame. You, as a marketer, your job is to make your viewer the hero of the story, not to make them the villain of the story. That's just basic marketing 101. Anybody who writes ads knows that the first rule is you make them the hero. You don't demonize them. You don't vilify them. You don't chastise them in your advertisement. This commercial was not about marketing, though. It kind of was about shitting on men and telling them to do better, and that's why a lot of people are pissed off about it. But here's the deal. Imagine this was a commercial for Venus razors, and the commercial started off with a bunch of girls sitting around the water cooler gossiping to each other, and the narrator was like, women, we need to stop being so gossipy. We need to stop talking shit about each other. Women, then it cuts to a scene of girls at the club getting drunk and going home with some guy that they just barely met. And it says, we need to stop having unprotected sex with men that we don't know and stop killing our babies because we don't want to deal with the consequences of our actions. Women, we need to stop being so catty and backstabby to our friends. And when you see women acting like this, you need to put her in her place. Be better. Buy Venus. Shave your legs with a Venus razor. That would not sell very well, but that's pretty much the equivalent of what this other commercial for Gillette was, just flipped around towards men because it is socially acceptable to talk that way about men. Now, same thing, a diet commercial. If you're writing an advertisement for a diet commercial, you're not going to say, stop eating so much junk food. Stop watching so much TV. Stop being such a lazy piece of shit. Go buy Weight Watchers today. That's not good advertising. That is not how you sell products. So this was not about selling products. So what really was the drive behind this, in my opinion, horrible, horrible form of advertisement that was directed basically at shaming their target audience? I've seen people say, well, it was about taking a stand. It's about doing what's right, being more important than making money. Gillette decided that speaking up and taking a stand was more important than making money. And to that, I have to laugh out loud, because here's the deal. Here's the truth of the situation. Most of the executives who approved this ad are probably guilty of things way worse than anything criticized inside of the advertisement. You see all of these, when it comes to the media, you see all these Harvey Weinsteins and all these other people that are constantly being, Kevin Spacey, all these people in the media that are constantly being accused of shit that's way worse than the average person out there is doing. It's the same thing for these corporate executives. Everything that they chastised in that ad, the people who approved it are probably guilty of 10 times worse. A simple example of this is a photo that's been shared pretty frequently on Facebook lately, and probably Twitter and all the other social media things as well, is the Gillette girls. It was a photo shoot from either last year or the year before, where Gillette had a bunch of chicks in these skin tight body, blue body suits with Gillette written across their butts. Very sexy girls, very objectifying. And it's Gillette that's doing it. So for them to preach about men to need to stop objectifying women when they're a company that does it you know, it's definitely not about taking a moral stand, because they don't give a fuck about that moral stand. They haven't lived up to that moral stand. Behind the scenes, they don't live up to the moral stand. In front of the cameras, they don't live up to the moral stand. Here's what the commercial was really about. Here's how I see it as an advertiser. This is the difference between advertising for small and medium-sized businesses and advertising for these big, giant corporations. Advertising for small and medium-sized businesses is about selling. It's about getting people to take action. It's about getting people to go out and buy and be happy with the decision to buy. Advertising for big, giant corporations is about winning awards. The people that work for Madison Avenue and all these big giant advertising agencies, there's like three advertising agencies that pretty much write all of the ads for the big corporations. And they umbrella own a bunch of different other marketing agencies. But the marketing agencies that employ people like me, or people like that the average entrepreneur goes to, those are different than the three main marketing agencies that pretty much run all of the advertisements for all the big giant corporations that you see on TV. And for those corporations, advertising is not about selling. That's why you can watch these commercials on the Super Bowl, and you can remember the commercial. It was very clever, but you have no idea what they were selling. You're like, oh yeah, I remember the commercial with the frogs, or I remember the commercial with the unicorn, or I remember the commercial with the dad and his daughter in the boxcar racing, but I can't remember which brand of a car it was selling. Isn't that funny? They spend billions of dollars to have these commercials made where at the end of the commercial, you can't even tell what it was selling. You can't even remember which brand it was advertising. Because for these big, giant commercial marketing agencies, it's not about selling the product. It's about winning the Chloes. It's about winning awards. These big ad agencies, they get to charge more money based off of how many awards that they win. If they can say, I won a Chloe Award, if they can say, I won a North American Advertising Award, if they can say, I won a Diversity in Advertising Award, if the more awards that they win, the more they can charge the big companies that are willing to pay for them. And these big, giant Chloe Awards and the majority of the awards ceremonies for advertising, there's like 16 major award committees for advertising that give out these advertising prizes every year. There's like 16 different committees, and every single one of these committees is made up of Hollywood and media elites. And the majority of those Hollywood and media elites are leftists, are far leftists, are extreme leftists. And in order to win those awards, you have to tailor your advertisements to feed the political biases of the judges. So the commercials that feed into the leftist narrative, they appeal to the judges that run the Chloe's, to the judges that run the other advertising award committees. and they are more likely to win awards. So it's not about taking a political stand. It's about appeasing the people that hand out the awards so that you can get awards, so that you can charge more, so that your agency can charge more, so that you can go after the bigger clients. That's what all of this is about. It's not about them actually believing the stuff that they're preaching. It's not about them wanting to create a buzz so that they can sell more razors. They don't give a shit. Procter & Gamble is a huge company. Under their umbrella, they have like 30 or 40 other corporations. Having one of those corporations take a ding in sales for a quarter while the short-term memory of the average outraged customer fades into the background, taking that ding is nothing for them. And for the marketing agency, they're going to win an award. The Chloes are going to say, yeah, you guys took a stand. The Chloes are going to say, yeah, you guys generated a bunch of buzz and controversy. Procter & Gamble's not going to be hurt in the long run. The marketing agency that made the commercial is going to be able to brag that they won a bunch of advertising awards off of it. They're going to be able to up their prices for their next thing. And that's what this is all about. These types of commercials, these attacks on masculinity, these attacks on traditional Western values, they're not going to go away because these big giant corporations aren't writing ads for us, the consumer. They're not writing ads for the companies to actually sell the products. They're writing ads to win awards so that they can charge more for their advertising in the future. They're writing ads for the advertising awards committee judges, and those judges happen to be left-leaning, so they're going to write ads that are left-leaning, that appease that political view. That's what's really going on here. All of this other stuff that everybody's freaking out about is really just a byproduct of what the root problem is. And the root problem is these major advertising agencies are writing ads to please the awards committees, not to please the businesses, not to please the shareholders, and not to please the consumers. They're doing it so that they can win awards, so that they can charge more money, so that they can get more money for their business. In my opinion, I don't know though. I'm just an advertiser. This is the way I view it. I might be wrong. I'm open to hearing what you have to say. If you have a different point of view, make sure that you leave it in the comments section wherever you found this broadcast. And if you enjoyed this and you want to hear more, you can check out the podcast over at NathanFraserShow.com. I'm Nathan Fraser. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. I'm out of here. Deuces. Did you enjoy the show? Do you want to help me create more of it? If so, then head on over to Patreon and find me at... just kidding. Fuck Patreon. But on the reals, I am a greedy capitalist. I do want your money, and I do have something really cool for you if you feel like sending me some shekels. Have you heard about the Free Market Squad? It's my private community, and inside of it, you'll be able to connect with a bunch of liberty-minded entrepreneurs and marketers. You'll also get access to trainings from some of the world's greatest marketers and A-list copywriters. These are the people who taught me how to build my two successful businesses so that I could do the work I love and be my own boss. So, if you want to show me some love, I'm going to give you something of immense value in return. Join the Free Market Squad, discover the selling secrets of some of the world's most successful marketers and copywriters, and get access to our private community of freedom-focused entrepreneurs. You help me, and I help you. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com and get signed up today.